I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni. Thanks for joining us. We are on a mission to change the world of public speaking for the better, make you more confident, charismatic, and engaging for your audiences, and make you have the ability to be able to share your message with a bigger audience. And today, we've got Josh Smith on, who helps you do exactly that. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Thanks, mate. It's good to be here.
So I've got your bio here that you sent me, and it's pretty awesome when it comes to solving, I guess, one of speakers' biggest problems, coaches, entrepreneurs, business owners. Tell everyone kind of what you do and give us a bit of a background on that.
Yeah, for sure. So I co-founded a company called We Fill Events, and you can probably guess as to what we do. We just put it right there on the front of the tin. And everything that we do is about supporting good ethical speakers, no matter where they are, to be able to make the difference from stage. Because something that we heavily believe in is that as entrepreneurs, I mean, you don't even have to identify with yourself as a speaker as such. But everything that we can do as entrepreneurs can be accelerated if we put ourselves into a live event experience, if we can be with more people than just one, you know, leverage that one-to-many model, which can be so powerful when it's done right. So that's just been a huge belief of ours for a long time, and just happens to be the area that we're very, very good at. I mean, we are digital marketers and direct response advertisers by trade, but the thing that we've always been best at has been live events. And when we really embraced what it is that we were best at, most passionate about, and realized that the biggest impact that we can have is by empowering entrepreneurs to be able to, you know, show up to live events filled with people that they want to be speaking to. We realize that we can make the impact that, you know, we really desire to make in business, because, you know, business is about being able to impact people at a lot of different levels, as opposed to, you know, just making money or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that it's that hard confusion that a lot of us go through. It's like, I want to make money, but yeah, then you get the cliche, like you go to people, oh, why are you doing such and such? Oh, because I want to, you know, the amount of people who go to Tony Robbins, I want to impact a million people. They just arbitrarily pick a million for whatever reason, which is cool. It's like you ask people how much money they want to be financially free, and they say $100,000 a year. Like, everyone just randomly picks that number when you're at an event. But I mean, it is true. Like, as much as people, like, you, once you take money out of the equation, people really want to unselfishly stroke their own ego by sharing a message and helping others. How did it kind of come about for you? Was it were you being the jack of all trades, and then in the digital marketing space, and then it finally came out, hey, this is what we're Trump's at, or what's the
journey? We used to be, so when I say we, I mean my partner Levi and I. My partner Levi and I, he is based in the US. So I was traditionally based in Australia until I moved to the UK. And, we have kind of an unconventional, you know, business relationship, if you want. We've been working together for, you know, a good 5-6 years. And everything that we have built, we've built our entire company or companies now, because we've built two businesses together. We did it all over a Skype connection initially. And, the first time we met, it wasn't until almost 2 years after we're working together. I was in Perth, he was in LA, he was coming to Sydney for a wedding. So I got on a plane, flew over to Sydney, had a beer with him, and essentially went back home. So we've had a very interesting relationship in that sense. But we built our first digital agency together, and that was a full suite digital ad agency. So, you know, live events was always in there, and we did a big volume of events in that sort of business. But we were doing, you know, everything: websites, lead generation campaigns, working in all industries, some branding stuff here and there. And we even did sort of cross online, offline, you know, type projects as well, which is, you know, really quite interesting if you want to see people butt heads, put digital marketers against traditional advertisers. And you've got a really good recipe for heated disagreements, I guess. So I mean, that was us. And then in 2000 and what are we now? So it would have been 2015. You know, we had sort of what really felt like our big break. And that was the opportunity to go work in Silicon Valley on, you know, one project that was going to be like our defining project. And we went all in on that. And, you know, it didn't work out in our favor. Not through anyone's fault. It just, you know, Silicon Valley is tough. And when you are in the tech space in Silicon Valley, you know, you're essentially competing against everyone in San Francisco. So our experience there didn't go well from that perspective. But I mean, the kind of experience you get, you know, being young entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley, you know, money can't buy that. But as a result, you know, we kind of had to start again coming out of that. And as a result of needing to start again, you know, Levi and I, we really sat down and we looked at, you know, so much of our experience and was like, well, geez, this whole live event thing has been staring us in the face this whole time and we didn't see it. And further to that, like, you know, we didn't realize how big of an impact that the live events our clients run, truly has on people. And I think a big part of that was amplified by Levi around that time, which was fitting. He went up to Canada to actually take part in a workshop that one of our clients up there was running. And long story short, and it's really Levi's story, and he can tell a lot better than me. You know, he was sitting next to this girl, and she had this profound experience where she was saying to Levi, because, you know, as you do your live events, multiple days, you get to know each other. And long story short, you know, she told Levi that, you know, she was planning on taking her life before this event, and her boyfriend made her come along, and you know, get goosebumps telling the story a little bit. But if it had not been for that event, essentially, you know, she wouldn't be here today. And she said to Levi, like, if you hadn't have placed that ad, had I not seen it, my boyfriend not dragged me to this event where I've now got this whole different sense of purpose around what it is I need to do with my life, I wouldn't be here. And, you know, that coupled with, you know, the San Francisco thing, was just like this huge bright light that said, okay, here is your new chapter. This is your purpose. This is what you have to go for. And that's what we did. So 2016, we rebranded everything, changed our entire focus, purpose, put everything towards live events, you know, put the foot on the gas. I moved to London, and, you know, wouldn't look back. It was probably the best decision that we've ever made, you know, professionally and personally as well, because I think, you know, when you get business right, it does bleed over into your life and it becomes one and the same thing. And, you know, like you said, the money side of it, the money just comes because you're doing the right stuff, and it doesn't become about the money anymore. And it's not about dream boarding the income you want per year and the amount of people you're going to impact and all that kind of stuff. It just happens as a result of, you know, being dedicated to serve and really get in and do what you have to do.
Mm. And that's what I heard Russell Brunson speaking on one of his podcasts the other day about. He like sat down one night because he couldn't sleep and he's like, all right, I've got pretty much all the money you could ever need for anything in life, unless I was going to try and buy a country. What on earth, like, you know, I'm going to just try and I can get whatever I wanted. Everyone always wants this. And he's like, I spent $611 on old books on eBay. He was up for like 5 hours. And he's like, and there was nothing else that he's like, and, you know, although he's like, I brag about, you know, the other day closing $3.5 million worth of sales at Grant Cardone's event. He's like, that was a challenge that he thought he could close two, and then he got close to three, and then he pushed it over at the event with the last charge. But he's like, he knew that the impact that, yeah, those numbers were kind of arbitrary. They weren't making his life significantly better. He knew that they'd make other people's lives significantly better, which is really cool. Over the last 2 years, what's the business? What does it look like now? Like, what was your role then? What's it now? And kind of how's it evolved?
Yeah, great question, actually, because we have evolved quite rapidly in that period of time, because initially we kind of just had the one core offering, which was, know, we'll come in, we'll fill your events, we'll help you scale, put you into whatever city that you want to go to, and take you away from, you know, the challenge that most speakers face, which is having lists and databases and resources in whatever places they want to go to, so they can go and speak and do the thing. So all we had was the core offer. Come in, we build out all the assets, we do all the advertising, manage all the campaigns, see it all through, get it across the line, and you know, give that speaker the opportunity to go into the city and do the stuff and make the impact, get the sales and continue scaling. But what we were finding is that the more that our little brand and its profile was raising, and it was happening quite quickly, is that we were having speakers of all different levels coming to us and wanting our help. But the truth was, is that we are very selective with who we work with, because what we do done right is it scales very fast. And a lot of speakers, a lot of entrepreneurs don't have businesses that can cater to that. Mm-hmm. So we're very careful in not unleashing that for speakers that aren't ready. You know, we'll be very honest and say, look, you need to focus here, here, and here first, before you bring us in, because A, you're going to spend a lot of money on our service, on the advertising, and you're going to set yourself up for opportunities that your infrastructure can't handle. Just yet. So what we're finding is that we had this really great exclusive service, lots of people wanting it, very few people an actual fit for it. And it's like, oh, cool. Well, you've got, you know, like an oversubscribed business model. Good for you. That's exciting. But the truth was, is that we really weren't playing the game that we wanted to. We weren't making that impact that we wanted to with our brand, because our thing is about impacting the world by putting speakers in rooms full of people that they can then kind of go off and impact. So it's like our lazy way of trying to help lots of other people by working with just a few people that are doing their thing.
The exponential effect.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what we did at the beginning of last year is that we made the decision that we were going to start pushing more into the education side of what it is that we do, because we know how to push all the buttons and do all the bits and build speaking businesses and help people do it for themselves, but we hadn't wrapped that IP in a way that we could deliver it to other people so that they could, you know, do it for themselves and get to the point where maybe they could work with us. So it would have been February 2017. I got a plane. I went to LA. Levi met me up there. He lives in Las Vegas, and we started filming out a lot of the foundational pieces to what we now have, which is called the Speaker Circle. And the Speaker Circle is, you know, a digital platform that kind of wraps all of our stuff into it. How to run ads, landing pages, building speaking business, all that kind of stuff. I'm not gonna spruik it here. So we really started moving into the education space, crafting all that stuff alongside our core offerings. Now we have two ways in which we can, you know, essentially help speakers, being at the developed stage and being at the developing stage level. And then from that, start putting in our own live trainings, which is not something that we really sort of had planned on doing. You know, we weren't really planning on being seen. Like when we started Weful Events, it was just about being behind the scenes, staying behind the scenes, helping the speakers doing the thing. And now the way that the brand has evolved, like we are getting to the point where we're being seen as, you know, kind of like influential people within this space, being trusted as educators as opposed to service providers. And it's just interesting. Yeah, that's really how we've kind of evolved over the past, you know, 2 years, really.
It's interesting you say it. It's like, I've got a friend who's a videographer, and he had to eventually get from, so I helped him with his you know, structuring of a talk and getting him some speaking gigs and things like that. It was going from being the videographer behind the camera to the videographer in front of people, so that they realize, hey, I should be using you. And yeah, it was that leverage. You know, I think it was like three local events, and he was booked out for a month or two in advance. Yep. And it's just like, yeah, it's the infrastructure that you're talking about was crucial, though, because he's like, should I need, can't need do any more, because it's me as a solopreneur and I'm just gonna miss targets and burn bridges of my own business.
That's exactly right. And so many speakers, they don't factor that in. They just see the short game, and they see the short game and the benefits of having all this cash flowing in, that they don't realize that they can't actually deliver on what it is that they're selling. And, you know, they have a short period of time in the sun when they've just made all this cash, but then it's like, oh crap, I've got to deliver all this and I don't know how to do it. And that is one surefire way to burn your brand down before it ever gets the chance of, you know, kicking off. So it's about having the infrastructure around the business, being able to deliver, being able to deliver over time, and then finding ways to actually leverage your time as you grow. So, you know, you can have areas of your business that are automated in a sense, but don't kind of drop that, you know, one-to-one feeling that your business does have to have. Because the truth is, when you're up there speaking and building your brand, like people are, you know, they see you as the solution to their problems. And when they buy into your programs, you know, they think and they want to be buying your time. And as a speaker really scaling, you know, when you buy Tony Robbins stuff, you know, you are not buying Tony's time unless you're paying him $1 million a year as a coach.
Yeah.
But so you have to craft everything under you to deliver a service in a way that is still beneficial, highly valuable, but time leveraged. And a lot of speakers don't plan for that initially.
Nice. So, I mean, it all makes ridiculously logical sense, and hopefully a lot of people listening are sitting there going, I really want to go, it's shiny object. It's like, I want to start a podcast. I want to be a speaker. I want to write a book. I want to get an online course. It's everything. But like, you've got to get those ducks in a row to be able to position yourself for starters. Cause I mean, I'm sure we'll delve into it in a second, but I'm sure you've got to kind of have a bit of that authority in your space, that social proof to get people in the door to prior. Yep. But when it comes to, so I guess we'll attack it in two phases, because I'm sure a lot of the listeners out there will get value. What are some of the key components, like an overview pre-event, like, you know, from first off crafting the idea and what you're going to do, how do you come up with the pricing? So it doesn't have to be completely nitty gritty, but then, you know, landing pages, what are all the moving parts to get the person just to the event?
Yeah, good. Okay.
I know that's a minefield of question, but I think,
where does that?
Yeah. What would it kind of look like if when a client, say, comes on board with you?
Yeah, okay, cool. So when a client comes on board with us, I mean, A, you've got to ensure that it's a commercially viable niche, which sounds overly simple, but it's true. You know, you've got to have, if you're speaking and you actually want to make money speaking and you're approaching it as a business, you have to look at it and go, cool, do I have an actual commercially viable product here? Are there people who want to buy what it is that I know? So that's, you know, like first stage, box the tick, great. And then from that, it's about actually having an ascension model or a business model around, you know, your events. You know, plenty of speakers, they want to run an event to sell a book. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, good luck with that, because events are expensive. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces. It costs a lot of money to put it on. And I don't just mean hiring us or paying ads. I mean, on your venue hire and all the bits that go around it. It's time heavy. Like, you've got to have a business model that goes beyond the book. You know, the book is just a tool that heightens your brand, gives you a profile and credibility. It's not a product. And if you wrote a book to sell a book, to make money on a book, you're already, you know, sort of probably 20 years late to that party. It's just not the way it runs. So for us, you know, seeing speakers with good established business models is really, really important. And what that means is, you know, yes, having, you know, preview events on the front end that might be free or low cost paid, that allow people to come in, get to know you, understand what you're doing, where you're coming from. And then from there, start building people through, you know, a ascending kind of suite of programs, products, and services. And then being able to offer those programs, products, and services at the right times. You know, you can't spend an hour with people at a free event and then all of a sudden pitch your, you know, highest offering 100 grand a year coaching product, and I just use that generically. It's about understanding the life cycle of people within your business and at what point you can pitch certain bits and pieces as you go. And then from there, I guess as well, it's also really key for speakers to understand what their metrics are around events. So understanding, you know, if you had a room of 100 people that were perfect for your business, and if you got to the stage where you'd earned the right to position a program or service that you offer, you know, what it looks like when you actually pitch that. If you if you pitch to a room of 100 people, do 10 come out and buy your stuff? Do 20 people come out and buy your stuff? Does nobody? These are all signs which give you an indication of how that business will perform when you actually pump some volume through it. If you run ads, if you scale, if you go city by city, because that those types of things, they're going to balance your costs and obviously and ultimately to make you profitable or not on the back end, which is really important to allow you to scale and do so sustainably.
And so let's say for the kind of the bottom rung, the free to cheap events, what for people out there wanting to kind of do it themselves, what's some realistic expectations on, and I won't say bums on seats because I saw your post yesterday, hearts and chairs. Yep. or clients potential clients or just people to get a person in the room what would a realistic kind of price be if they were doing kind of the online marketing space of it?
Well, I mean, even to step back just slightly further from there, I mean, one of the recent talks I gave, people have this grandeur of doing an event for like 1,000 people or something crazy like that. But the reality is being successful as a speaker can mean running little boardrooms of 10 people or 20 people, starting small. And I really recommend that with every speaker that's sort of at the beginning of their journey and at the beginning of their journey in a way that they want to make speaking a commercial opportunity for them. Start small, get your metrics, understand what that looks like as you start scaling. And then I'll always be the first one to say as well is that stay away from advertising if you can for as long as you can. Get really good at hustling, or as I call it, MacGyvering, your way through a speaking business. And that means working out how you can leverage your network, how you can build partnerships, how you can position yourself in a way that you can utilize resources around you so you can be super resourceful, to get other people to help you to fill your events, and that way you're not just purely outlaying cash to build this thing. If you can put hearts and seats based on a strong network you have around you and other people vouching for you, you're going to be able to save a lot of money in the front end. You're going to be able to reduce your risk in running events. And events are very risky. And it's going to be a safer option for you to, or opportunity for you to make money doing this thing. Because it is a challenge. I wouldn't say just run ads because you see other people doing it successfully, because what you see on the front end, there's a whole lot going behind the scenes that, often, we don't see, or a lot of the digital marketers don't show us.
I'll interrupt you because it's interesting. Just because you see it also doesn't mean it's successful.
That's exactly right. Just because you see it, it does not mean that it's successful. That's absolutely
a really exciting image for some really exciting copy doesn't really mean that there's an actual exciting room full of excited people, which is, partly firsthand experience and then, partly just being in that online marketing space for a long time and seeing the battle scars of people who are full of it.
Totally. Yeah. It's crazy. So many moving parts.
So pretty good advice. Yeah. Use your networks, MacGyver it away, and then look to get proof of concept and fine tune it quick.
Yep. Proof of concept, build up your little war chest. Do so by being successful, having to hustle your way to the point where you're like, okay, to actually scale now, I need to be more time leveraged and I need to get help doing this. Don't do it as a gamble, because that can backfire. Like you can go out, you can hire us or someone else who can do what we can do, and you could get all the marketing right and put all the people you could possibly want into your event. But if you have not nailed your own stuff, if you haven't got your own process down right, your sale isn't quite there, your products aren't ready, the value proposition isn't good, you can botch it on your side too. And that's why events are really hard. It takes practice. You've got to have the marketing right, absolutely, but you've got to have your own bit right too, and only you, the speaker, can control that.
And do you, so I mean, we're kind of, let's say we get them to the event, do you encourage your speakers, the people that you work with, to have a particular framework that they go into it? Like, hey, this is, it's a one-day event, it's a two-day event, you know, train, pitch, like, you know, do you have certain formulas that you've seen that work and don't work, or is it industry specific?
It's a really great question, and a lot of it comes down to personal preference with the speaker, because we're all different operators as business owners. Like, some speakers are very good at getting on stage, selling from stage, and doing it in a way that it comes across as ethical and congruent, and there's no icky feeling, you know. And there are speakers who go out there and just burn people from stage, and it's a horrible experience, and the sell is coming, we're sitting in the audience and we know it's coming, it's like, oh, you know, I just want to get out of here, and I don't want to make eye contact with the speaker. And
so you've all seen JT Fox in
yep, him and the likes of many others who who, for the life of me, it still works to some extent. And I don't understand it. I mean, it's not how, you know, how we are. I mean, but then, like, you have other speakers as well who understand that their process is best when, they ask for permission to actually share how they work. And they say, look, we're going to have a break at this point. If you would like to hear how we work, just come back after the break. And, you know, we'll just sit down together and I'll just run through how that goes. It's a very soft sell, invitation based thing, you know, do you mind if I, that stuff is awesome. And then even beyond the fact of going towards, okay, cool. Like, if you want to learn more, I'm doing like the free strategy sessions. Come along, we get together in groups, or we work one-to-one, and we'll go a bit deeper. And then from the back of that sort of pitch. So there's a lot of different models, and I find that it's really dependent on the speaker, what's comfortable and congruent with them, and where they perform best. And a good speaker tends to test multiple models and, you know, work it out through having gotten the numbers. You're going to get the numbers together by, you know, doing multiple events, getting lots of people through, I'd say lots of people, enough people that you can actually create data sets. And by data set, I mean, you know, having enough people that have come through, you've spoken to, pitched in different ways, positioned in different ways, that you can say, cool, this way worked like this, this way didn't work, this way performed like that, da 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 da, and then base everything off numbers, because it's a numbers game, in a sense that you should be mathematically driven, data driven, as opposed to, you know, a numbers game of just get them in and do the stuff and see how you go.
Just hidden hope. I mean, yeah, when you say the invitation, I've seen, I've seen some of the circles you hang in, and Roger Hamilton,
he's very good.
Yeah, he does, and he does that invitation side of things, you know, ridiculously well. Like, you know, stay in here over lunch, we're going to have some lunch brought in, those of you who are interested, yeah, blah blah blah, and then, you know, those of you who want, you know, stay after the event, we're going to be talking about this. And it's just like, you know, if you're not interested in anything, you go buy a book and you leave happy, and you'll probably come back because you had a good time at the event. Again, he knows obviously his metrics and the lifetime value, that it might not be right for that person at that time, and he's probably not going to deal with lots of disgruntled customers wanting money back, or they're pushing themselves outside of what they're physically capable of or financially capable of. Yeah, I mean, I really like that. I I'm sure I'm like you. When you sit in an event, you see what you like personally and aligns with you, and you see what works. And he never seems to be one of the ones that polarize 50% of the audience, because that's what you get with some of those other ones. People just, yep, this guy is selling, you know, he's got dancing bears up there and he's, you know, doing everything, and 50% of the audience goes, this guy's a, you know, or girl or whatever, is a, you know, absolute there, and then other people just love them, and that's keeps their business afloat. But it's an interesting one to go
totally.
Now,
yeah.
Before we wind up, because it's, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot there for people to take in, and I guess to understand, I think it's so important to understand those moving parts of, like, it's not just turning up on the day and, yeah, delivering whatever. Everyone's a bloody subject matter expert at whatever they're teaching, so that's not the difficult part. It's, you know, getting people there, making sure that when they're there, you're taking them on the right journey and all of those sorts of things. I saw when I was doing a bit of research, you've got a cool event coming up that you've just announced. It sounds pretty awesome. Do you want to give us kind of a bit of a background on that and how that kind of all came to fruition?
Yeah, okay. So full disclaimer that we haven't 100% locked that one in yet.
Throwing you under the bus.
No, you're not throwing me under the bus because, you know, I have sort of mentioned it softly on my own sort of personal Facebook page and stuff. But yeah, we are currently working on bringing Simon Sinek to London, which we're hoping will take place next year in March. Me being a tenacious type person, I don't see it not happening. And if for whatever reason it can't happen, then we just change it in ways that it will make it happen. But yeah, we are planning on making that happen here in London in 2019. We're in 2018 now. Yeah, God, I keep losing track. But yeah, I mean, you know, Simon's obviously at the top of his game with everything he teaches and the way that people respond to him. So we're working very hard to be able to align with him and be able to put on a very unique and unique event here in London with him. Daniel Priestley, Paul Dunn as well. Who are all just, you know, phenomenal experts in this space, and it'd be a big win for, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners, and, you know, business leaders alike, to come together, spend the day, and learn.
Well, it's definitely got my ears perked because, yeah, I was I'm helping a friend launch his podcast at the moment, so I was editing an episode with Paul Dunn the other day that he did, and Daniel Priestley's obviously pretty good at what he does. So yeah, I mean, I have no doubt with those sorts of names that it's going to be an epic event. And is that something that's new for you guys, as in putting you on those sorts of events yourself?
Yeah, actually, and that ties into, you know, what you asked earlier about how our business model has evolved. And when we started, you know, doing We Feel Events, like, you know, this wasn't part of our trajectory at the time. We didn't see us, you know, like I said, being the face of what it is that we do within this industry. But now we've set this bar higher and higher, and people are expecting us to do bigger and bigger things. And one of the ways that, you know, we are doing that is by aligning with, you know, people who believe in what we believe in, and people that we trust and share the same message as us. And it just made too much sense for us to try to bring like a Simon together and do this thing with us. And it came about as a result of a conversation I had with Paul. So I've known Paul for many years, and last year Paul was in London. He's always somewhere. I swear he lives on a plane. He's ridiculous. He was in London last year, and I was like, oh, great, you're finally going to be in the same city as I am at the same time. Let's meet. And we had dinner together and just had a really great chat for a long time. And somehow in our crazy brainstorming / chatting about everything type evening, we stumbled upon, you know, this idea of, you know, bringing Simon together for doing an event. And him and Paul, you know, they've known each other for a while as well. And Paul did a podcast with Simon, or like an interview, you know, a few years back. And then ever since that evening, we've been sort of working on putting that together. And now it's just coming to a point where it might actually be a reality sooner rather than later, and can pull it off. But yeah, definitely, definitely something that we didn't see our brand going towards when we first started it. But now, man, we're playing a game that I think dictates that we need to do bigger and bigger stuff like this.
Got to roll with some pretty kind punches when they flow your way.
That's right.
That's absolutely epic, man. So I wish you absolutely all the best for it, and it definitely piques my interest to maybe want to pop over and experience it all myself. But that's going to wind up everything today. So everybody out there, you have got the Insider Secrets on Public Speaking Secrets podcast. And Josh, I just want to welcome you to the Speaker Nation. If people want to check out more about, you know, what We Feel Events are up to, or what you're personally up to, where can they go and what can they do?
Yeah, cool. I mean, I guess the easiest way, if you want to see what we're about, is to go to our website, which is wefulevents.com. If you would like to be a part of our sort of little community, we've got a closed group on Facebook, which I think is facebook.com/thespeakercircle, all one word. That's where we have sort of a group of us that come together and, you know, ask different parts and just be sort of a part of a good little community that you know, is in the speaking world at one level or another and uses live events to grow their businesses. So I guess that is probably the easiest places to go to learn more about us. And from there, we're pretty easy to reach if there's a conversation to have or if there are any questions that, you know, we might be able to help with. So yeah, probably the best places to go.
Wicked. Well, as always, we'll link that at publicspeakingblueprint.com where you can go and pick up a lot of free training plus everything that we talked about today. They'll be in the show notes as well as links to get in touch with Josh and all the links that he just put out there. So thanks so much, mate. I look forward to following the journey and keeping in touch and hopefully being one of your clients in the sooner rather than later future.
You're very welcome, mate. Thanks very much for having me.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.